days, chill nights, good company, and mellow vibes. You're listening to Out the Booth Podcast, a weekly Kenyan music podcast dedicated to exploring, playing, and highlighting the finest music in Kenya and across Africa.
So everybody can hear, cause I love the way you listen to me. Take control of my body and make me
weak.
WCW, and you don't know what you do to me. I wanna slide in your DM, so come over with the PM. Me may end up my pensy kem. Come over, baby, you're the dem. And I will never kiss and tell. And you don't have to bring your friends. Yeah, majirani wakiteta. Me na wewe ni sinema.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Out the Booth Podcast. My name is Eugene, aka Mr. Cricket Smile. And today I have a guest with me and we will be talking about Uti Soul. But before we even get into the conversation, I will let her introduce herself.
Ooh, for the second time on this comfortable seat. Yes, I'm Missy Jiffy. I am, what can I say? I'm an art enthusiast, a music enthusiast in the country. And I also like just love talking about what people are doing. So I guess that's why I'm here. Today we're talking about Sauti Sol, so I'm excited about that.
Okay, yeah, true, exactly. We want to talk about Sauti Sol. Now, there's so much to say about Sauti Sol, but today we want to talk about what Sauti Sol left behind beyond their music. Because every other time, we always talk about the music. Every other conversation is all about the music, the albums, all that. But we're talking about the legacy, the things they left behind. What do you think about that? The things they left behind beyond their music. What can you say about them?
I mean, they've left a lot behind. I don't like that we're putting the music on the side. I mean, of course we'll talk about it, but I feel like the identities were so much entwined with their music. So it's even like a lot of the legacy they've left behind is still connected to what they've been doing musically. Yeah. top of my head, Soul Generation, Soul Fest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not saying like we're putting aside the music, not like we're ignoring the complete music part. It's just that the music has been talked about so much that we tend to forget that there's more to this music business, as we talk about it, the music culture that they had, mm-hmm. that is just not just being a musician. As a musician, mm-hmm. you know, we always talk about them being mirrors of the community and all that. But then how do they mirror the community? So that's kind of like what I mean. Like, how have Saudi Soul mm-hmm. mirrored the community that they've been involved with?
Oh, wow. I like that. That's your point. Okay, cool.
So Saudi Soul have been around since. So Saudi Soul have been around for the last 19 years, or had been around. I think we should be talking now, it's past tense. You see, now these are the kind of things. Now you hear their music so much that you can't even refer to them in the past tense. It's like they're still there. So Saudi Soul have.
I'm curious about this post. Like, is it really? Are they really? Did they really stop making music, or are they just taking a break? Did they officially like take the final final bow? There was the first time they said they were going to like not do it again, and then they had the big show, and then they had the other show that was, I think, celebrating 20 years or so. And then they also had another event after that, and even on the internet, guys were just like going all crazy, wondering like, what's going on? Are they going, or are they still here? So I think we'll just say have, because it's still present tense.
I think so. Here's the thing: Saudi Soul is no longer active. Saudi Soul is no longer active. Bien is active. Savara is active. Chimano is active wherever he is. Fancy Fingers is doing his thing. But the band Saudi Soul is not active. The individual artists are active. That's actually is part of the statement that they said. You see, they were very, I think these days you have to be very careful with the words you use, because like if you look at the statement that they released, they said that they are done with projects, but they will be focusing on individual projects. So them as individuals will be putting out music. But I don't know about the group. The group might come together. I mean, they've been doing that with the shows, like you said. They do that with the shows. I don't know if we'll be seeing
new music. That's what you mean. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Group Saudi Soul. It's like the group broke up. The artists themselves are together. So yeah.
All right. So
they announced the release, their departure from the scene on the 20th of May, 2023. And so since then, we've just been seeing singles. And of course, sinua Kenya, so lazima kewa si kila time groups zikifunjika, lazima kila msia sema, hey, kamula.
We need them back.
We're done, okay? They are over. Buy their music, go buy their merchandise, find their new work. They're not coming. It's just,
especially Camp Mula, like people just need to let it rest.
Yeah. We're done with it. We've had it, we've seen it. It's not for us anymore. We enjoy the new work. I mean, Karun is doing a lot. Actually, when was the last song you heard from Karun?
From Karun, I think. Oh, there's a new one that she just did, I think, with. I'm not sure with who else, but the one that I think is on top of my mind is the latest collaboration with Fancy Fingers on Fancy Fingers' new album. It's called One in a Million. It's a nice song. But I don't think it's the latest one. Yeah, but top of my mind, that is it. Yeah.
That's an artist now I can say we need on Kenyan Colors again. Colors happened, right? Colors happened for Kenya. So, am I wrong?
I mean, Colors is amazing. There was a lot of buzz around it, and some people were mad, others were happy that, you know, at the end of the day, Kenya was out there. But I mean, there was Lisa Odor, Zenia, of course, there was Karun, Bien. Who else was there? I think Matt Ngesa, this lady called Nyokabi. Yeah, she's a couple of people.
So first member of Sooty Soul that we will be looking at is Fancy Fingers. Fancy Fingers has been amazing. Now, you know, funny thing about Sooty Soul and their origin, when they started out, they were just an a cappella. There was no instrumentalist in there. I mean, they played the instruments, but it was not a major part of the group. But eventually, they came to meet up with Fancy Fingers, who actually brought out that unique Sooty Soul sound that we hear these days. Because for every group, for every unique artist that we talk about, there's always a unique sound to them. It's like calligraph and standing on the stage, you know, that kind of thing. The artist standpoint. That's the exact thing that Fancy Fingers brought about. What do you think about Fancy Fingers and the things that he's been able to do for Sooty Soul?
Fancy Fingers is a great guitarist. I just learned recently that he's a producer. I don't know why I didn't have that piece of information, but I was at his latest album and release, and I learned that he's actually been producing his own music for all his albums now. I'm not sure if he's done the same for Sooty Soul. But yeah, just learned that he's a very good producer, which is amazing.
I think he has, because I mean, if you're a guitarist and you're a producer with such a group, of course, there has to be some kind of production.
He's probably been there, right? Yeah, so I can't say which songs really, but I think it's probably some songs he's done with them. What do I think about him? I think he's a very interesting character, though, because he's a multi, what are they called, multi-potentialite. Like, he has so much that he does. And then he's this father figure. He's this very family man. And he loves cooking. And he's into, I don't know, wellness. So I think he's an all-round interesting character. I don't know what you think about him.
No, I think he embodies a path that most artists look to take but don't actually are not able to achieve, because you know, for many years we didn't even know who Fancy Fingers was. We just saw him playing the guitar on his own bands. He was quiet. There was nothing else that we knew about him except that he makes music. And then it got to a point where it's like he's made enough music, he's known everywhere. So now the only thing that's left for him is just to show and tell, like, for all these years, we've been doing this thing, and now this is who I've been able to become. Like, I've grown as an artist to become who I am right now. And that's a family man, you know, a producer, all these things, like, learning on the job, and finally now he can come out and tell you, like, yeah, so when you do all these things, you can finally become this. It's a different bright side of art that you never get to see often. Because most of the time, you usually see artists, they, okay, this is it's a stereotype, but this is how it goes. You become an artist, you hit, you get a little money, you either get kids, and then you disappear from the scene. He did it in a very calculated manner, like, no one knew anything, and then finally we know everything and everything is set. Like, you can't shake this foundation. This thing was set, you are not even here. But right now in social media, everyone wants to be seen, you want to be known, you want to show off, and you show off and you're just doing it for the praise. Yeah. For the hype, and then when the hype dies down, you also die down with the hype. And that's not what he went. In fact, there's very little hype around him. If any.
I like that he trends for the right reasons. So just like with everything you've explained, even if he's like, if you're going to listen, if you're going to hear anything about him, it's going to be good. You won't hear, oh, sijari patikana wapi, akifanya nini na nani wanani. It's always the street shit. And I think that's something to admire from an artist of his caliber.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, and also he wrote a book when he released the first album.
Yes.
It was written in the stars, 2021.
You seen it? Have you read it?
Yeah, it's a very interesting book. Very nice. I was there on the release.
Oh.
I was able to attend the release that day. Mm-hmm. Also to speak with Melissa. Quite an interesting person. She has multi-talented also. I mean, like we've said, this guy, we didn't even know about him. And clearly you can see even from the people he's working with right now, you can tell that his reputation is, there's nothing to question about the reputation he has gained right now. And that's a good thing about it. And even, you know, even with the albums, you get to see, you're seeing more of a human than an artist. Like, yes, it's an artist making the music, but it's more connected to what it means to the basics of humanity, like a family, mm-hmm. kids, mm-hmm. you know.
Life.
Being, yeah, life.
Love.
Simply. Yeah.
Yes. Have you listened to his recent album?
Not yet. I actually just saw the release. I saw it on my Spotify. I haven't listened to it. I've been listening to the past ones though. I listened to, I think, all of the ones before this one. Mm-hmm. But the one I think I love most was How I Met Your Mom. That the first one. That first one.
That was amazing.
I keep going
so
back.
Good. Like, yeah.
How is this album not dominated conversations everywhere? Like, I think these are the kind of projects that people talk about years later and they're like, this thing is evergreen, because you can listen to it at any time, at any age, and it'll still make sense in some sort of way. That's why I keep going back to it. That's the problem.
Mm-hmm. So I haven't listened to Skuku. Is Skuku the project they did around Christmas?
Yeah. Actually, that's
what okay, but yeah, I had one song. Okay.
What do you think about those kind of albums, the ones the artists release during Christmas? Because I think every end of the year, I usually do this thing where I listen to the latest projects, and then you find that there's these artists who make like compilation albums. Maybe they're covering Christmas songs, they're making their own versions, and you usually find them so interesting, but those are the least talked about projects ever. No one talks about them because, you know, it's in the middle of the holidays, no one is listening. New Year comes in, some artist releases some new music, and yours is just forgotten. Like,
and then now you have to wait for the next Christmas.
Yeah.
To make it trend.
Again, still doesn't do this.
Okay. I like the projects that come out during such holidays, because then it's like they are giving us new traditions or new music to celebrate holidays to do, or actually things that are our own. You know, when we sing, I think we're always singing the Boney M's, and you know, it's never like a song from down here. So it's nice to have such songs that we can sing from here. But on the distribution part, I'm not sure about that, or the promotion part, I really can't speak for them, because often they don't really get the recognition they deserve. But I think his is the only project I know from Christmas. I don't know if any others, so I can't also just like say a lot there.
So that's Fancy Fingers. Is there anything else you'd like to say about Fancy Fingers?
Not really, but also you said you've not listened to the new album. I think you should listen to it when you have the time. It's amazing. It's a 12 song collaborative project with all female artists. And they're from Kenya. I mean, from Kenya, it's like, I think there's Caro and there's Njeri. Is it Njeri? That one? Yeah. There is Lisa. It's Lisa. There's Lisa Odor. Who else? There's Femi One. I know. And the Femi One song is it's called Mechi. You will listen to it. I'm waiting for your feedback. It's fun. The whole album is fun. It's called Mechi with Femi One.
The name of the album.
Oh, the name of the album is called Love Language.
Love Language. So.
Yes. And it's literally just like, you know, different songs about different emotions. Yeah. Yep.
So good. Mm-hmm. 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 Benzi leona enda safari.
safari na niya mbali. Ukianza kunimisi madam, tabasamu kidogo. And every stage and every song I play, every fan that will scream my name, I will always be with you in my heart. I will miss you forever. My days are long.
Chimano. This one I'll let you start. I start the other one. This one I'll let you start.
Chimano. What do I know about Chimano? I think Chimano is very colorful. He's very vibrant. I want you to say vibrant, but he's the fashionista of the group. All of them are fashionistas, but he like there's no day you'll see him out there dressed down. He's always looking fancy, and he always has like he's always wearing some different shit. So I think that's something that's made him stand out for the longest. His album Heavy is the Crown, I don't know how you liked it. I liked it. It was nice. My favorite song was Hallelujah, but today we're just talking about songs. So I think for Chimano, aside his music, I appreciate the fact that he's a fashionista, but I'm not so in touch with the other projects that he's been into. But I also like the fact that he's, because like the way I understood Heavy is the Crown, I understood it in the sense that he took it to himself to like be a representative of the community, of the LGBTQ community in Kenya. Like, it's not like he was saying it, but it's like, you know, with the song, it's like, yep, this is me, and I'm not afraid to do it. Everyone, live to your true self. I think that's big. I think that's big, because it got him some recognition with the people of the community. I feel like this is usually such a very difficult conversation to have, especially for people who don't understand. You know, the days and the lens.
Like you said, I mean, you've already said it. It's a difficult conversation. That's why he said Heavy is the Crown, because he's the one who's holding it. Now, let's just give points. Stage number one, his voice. Let's just give the voice is very unique. I mean, you would know it's Chimano singing, despite what song he's on. So that's one thing you can give him. That's a good point. quality to have in the band. And that's also something that made the band actually quite unique, because there was different voices and you could tell each member apart. It's not like K-pop where, you know, we have everyone sounding. I don't know much about K-pop. I just mentioned K-pop because I run into the videos from time to time when I'm scrolling through social media, and you know, it's just there. But Shimano, I think with the voice, he did something there. Now, as being a representative for the LGBTQ, that was also quite unique. I mean, it was brave of him to stand, you know, in the gap and, you know, decide to finally announce to the world, because that's not, you know, there's announcing in this one, it's announcing to your friends. Your friends are like, okay, so we know, but are you going to make it public? Is it something you want the public to also, in the public's opinion, like let the public give their opinion on what they think about it? That was left up to him, and he took his time with it. He announced when he felt it was right, and then, you know, I think since the album was released, he's not even spoken again. Have we even heard from him? We don't even know what's going on. I mean, he was supposed to go into fashion. He just disappeared.
I personally, I felt like Shimano's album would have done very well if it had a promo strategy that was, you know, maybe in the US or somewhere where the people are more accepting of people from the LGBTQ community. Because I think he dropped the album not so long after he like actually came out to everyone. So probably most people related this album to be for the community, not for everyone. And so probably that's why it didn't really get the traction that it should have gotten, because it is a really good piece of work.
Yeah, that actually is true. Oh yeah, Heavy is the Crown. So it was, I hadn't seen it from that angle. But I think the funniest thing about having Shimano is in the group is when it's like they had to show support for each other, and then they kind of dress like him. Those are the funniest
moments. For performances, right?
Yeah. Those moments, you just like, I can tell you're not comfortable in those clothes.
In what you're wearing?
Yeah, like leather, that tight. How?
And you guys are doing like a 1 hour set. How?
Yeah.
But anyway.
And they're just, anyway, anything for the art. You know, but seriously, the bug is dead.
I mean, showbiz, yo, crazy. I feel like they're still in it and it's wild. But I feel like with showbiz, you just have to do anything that gets you ahead of the rest. So if it means dress differently, then by all means, please do it. The whole point is to be, you know, to get people's attention. The right attention, actually, not just any attention. I get people talking, so.
Speaking of getting people talking.
Yeah.
Would you do anything for clout? I think that should be a nice body question. Would you do anything
for clout? For clout?
You should, like, there's no reason.
This is such a hard question, because I think it will depend on the circumstances.
What kind of circumstances? Exactly. See, now that's the thing. What kind of circumstances would warrant clout?
Okay. Clout. So say I'm looking for clout for my clients, not for me. I would do wild things, like, I mean, not crazy things, but I feel like I would do some unorthodox things sometimes. More than nobody gets hurt, I don't think there's a problem. You know, that's the thing, actually, by the way, like when the who's and who's of Kenyan, I won't mention their names, when they go viral, it's usually like sour, we said all that, but did we hurt anybody? We did not. And so you give them your millions of views and they drop the next song and you are mad and happy, and then, you know.
No, I don't think there's any.
Would you? Would you do?
No, I've thought about it. What would warrant clout? You know, some questions.
Let's say. I mean, I think it also depends. Why do you need the clout? If you need the clout for good reasons, then it's not a problem.
Yeah, you can't control clout. But the thing is, how do you respond when it gets to you? When you double down, now that's the doing it for clout part. When you double down on the matter, I think that's the part where you now get clout.
But if you just like take it. And so how do you propose?
If it happens when you find yourself trending all of a sudden, you're like, oh, I'm trending. I didn't intend to trend, so I'll just let it die down. That's fine. That's not, you didn't do it for clout. But then I'm trending. This is what made me trend.
And then now you start doing the most.
Now you're just pushing it now. I mean, we already know your name. Why do you want? What more do you want from us? Your feedback means a lot to the show. That means that you can improve your listening experience by quickly reaching out. On social media, find the DMs at otbpodke, or you can send an email to otbpodke@gmail.com. Let me know how you like your podcasts. So up next, Savara, personal favorite. Actor.
I felt like you copied me before you wrote this, because Savara is my favorite as well.
No. Savara.
But everyone loves Bien.
Yeah. I mean, Bien is. How do I put this?
Bien has been there. Like, he's been the face of South Soul for the longest. So
Bien is a default setting. You know? Like, if you're a fan of South Soul, there's no way you can hit Bien, seriously.
You know Bien, of course, yeah.
And if you're hitting Bien, that's just now your personal problem. That's not even a problem with that. That's just you. Now you're the one who has the problem. That's just you. You're the one who has the problem. But now you know from there is now when you start now looking at it. You know, there are people who like fancy fingers because, you know, he represents the father in them, you know, and things like that. There are people who like Chimano because of they like Chimano, you know, for their reasons. Then now there's Savara, who you just see and you're like, this is now, he's like the representation of hunger for Salty Soul. You know, like when you see Salty Soul do something, they do it so good. You can say it's like Savara is the one who pushed them to do that, because he looks like the kind of artist, the kind of person who, yes, they've made a song. The song is a hit. They're in the studio. They're enjoying it. And then he's like, but how can we make it bigger? You know, he looks like asking that kind of question. How can we make it bigger? How can you make it stick in people's minds? Like, when you look at Savara as an artist, he looks like the kind of out of the box singer of the artist. Bien represents this group will be great part of this. Chimano gives you that this group is unique. Fancy Fingers, that gives you that there's something about this group I need to keep attention. Yeah, I need to stay, keep attention. Like, I need, if I look away, I'll miss something and I don't want to miss. That's what Fancy Fingers gives. Then now we have Savara, who brings all these together and then just puts them in one line. That's just my opinion on Savara. How about you? How do you feel about Savara?
How do I feel about Savara? I think Savara is great. Great, just like his campaign. The greats. So I've seen him performing live, and to be honest, I felt like I wanted to cry because it was so, so good. He's so good on the stage. The way you said, I think he's the most diverse out of all South Soul members, because he's a drummer, he's a producer, he's a composer. He basically touches things and turns them into like some nice artsy things. So yeah, I think that's what I think about him. He's the most diverse, and I think he makes music for all of us. You know, if you're going through life, then just listen to Savara.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. On the savage level. You know, I was lucky enough to be able to attend the release party of Savage Level. And like you said, he's very good on stage. When he was telling the story of Savage Level, like, as because this is how he was doing it. He would tell the story of one song, play the song as he performs. Actually, he was more of performing the song than playing the song. Because the song was not, it was just like background noise, just to give you like a taste of what you'll get there. But then the whole idea of the release party was to give you, or to put you in his mind when he was writing the song. And he literally put me in studio with him, or rather in the situations that he was in. Because he would explain a situation and you feel like you're right there with him, because it's so relatable. Like he understands what people want to listen. He understands why you make a song. You don't make a song just so you can, you know, get the album out. You're not making the song to have 12 songs on the album. You're making the song because this album is about the savage level. So in this song, what was the savage part? You know, what pushed me to that level? What pushed the level? What was pushing? What envelope am I pushing? You know, how am I pushing this forward? How am I telling this story as it goes on? And that also brings up something like the album sequencing. I think that album has one of the best album sequencing, the sequencing of songs. That one just takes the cake for it because of the way it was just laid out. That was just amazing.
Facts. I agree with you on the storytelling part because I think the story that stuck with me, Sanai, was the one for Regia Kinyozi, and he was just like saying how he was bringing back the memories from when, you know, when you were kids and you'd go to the barbershop and it's just they're playing reggae peke yake. And so initially I used to think, you know, now when you meet Sauti Sol, they are I'll just say they're a luxury brand for lack of a better term. Yeah. So now when I listened to Savara, I expected him to also be that, you know, the bougie, the, you know, utter, like, even him in person. But then now I met this side of Islando and with Sijui, you know, Mtaani. That whole vibe about him was just, like, so interesting. I think it's what also makes him very intriguing because anongea luka ya Mtaani, let me say that in Swahili, like, he's very Mtaani. Yeah, he's very local. And I think that's really nice. Mm.
I think that's also what made him be able to bring out his character so well in Veve. You've watched Veve?
Mm-hmm. I did. I watched it recently. I saw him and I was like, is that Savara on that? We should see him on another movie because he was actually good.
Like, you're watching the movie, like you said, Sauti Sol is a luxury brand. You're expecting that Sauti Sol is on the scene, but you're not even seeing Sauti Sol.
Yes.
But you're not also seeing Savara, you're seeing the character. You're seeing the character in the movie. Like there's no separation between what the movie is about and who he is as an artist, mm-hmm. like a popular big artist. Like you don't feel that disconnect. It all just blends together. And like you said, he's just the one who he gives you that this kind of thing.
It's indeed. Even like a lot of his campaigns, the storytelling on his campaigns is very, you know, it's even like when he does the, I think he's with a liquor brand, the one that he does whatever for, he's an ambassador for a liquor brand. You find him akienda tu huko mtaani, like he's not out here looking for people in your high places. Yeah.
It's been Kilimani. Nah. Like the organization you're talking about, the Savara Women's Advancement Project, it was released in 2017. I was following up on it, you were just trying to look up on who was involved, how the claims were going. And you just see this is quite literally a community based organization. This guy has gone to the basics of what a community is about and found the because it's a women's empowerment program. So he's working with the people who are directly involved with his fans. Like, this is a direct association. There's no Ati Savara is work. Savara's company is now funding something. No. It's him on the ground actually interacting with these people and working with these people. And that's great. That's quite nice from.
Yeah. And I think also it speaks on his love for his mother, because he also bravely speaks about it also on his album. So like, for him to actually want to work for the interest of women, it's interesting. And is he doing things like, is he doing activities with the same organization, or?
I think the last, I've not seen any updates from the organization since for quite some time, but I believe he's still involved in the empowerment programs that are going on around. So I think that's actually quite interesting. Yeah, I think it's still and now for the fun.
Oh yeah, I wanted to say that I also admire how collaborative he's been. He's been working with so many artists, young and old alike. And so I think that's very,
Yeah, that's actually something else with Saudi Soul. They don't just restrict themselves to their age groups and the artists that they are involved with. They also work with everyone else every other artist who's coming up and, involve themselves with the artists. So I think that's also quite interesting to see. Yeah, that's actually something else. Yeah.
I'm certain brighter days are yet to come. Ain't no question that tomorrow there'll be good times. I believe with every beat of my heart. I'm on a one-way train. Tell them in my letters I'm gonna do my best. Sazing in the wanga ni no ma ni no. I know there'll be a better day. Yeah. I'm living on the edge. See, true in it, I should be a quagan instead. Life in a little corner. Emotionally, I know there'll be a better day. I'm certain brighter days are yet to come. Ain't no question that tomorrow there'll be good times. I believe with every beat of my heart. Siku ziki zidi, nazidi makiniga zaidi. I'm holding on a little bit longer. Stronger. I see a better day. Yeah, visions of love from up above, and it's not too far away. Now I shut down, now on a fall, I know I will be okay. Reach for the stars with everything in my heart. I know, cause I've said to
fan favorite.
Let's go to the fan favorite. I feel like everybody knows everything about Bien. He's the poster boy. He's is that the right way to describe him though? But like, yeah, he's a beautiful poster boy, and he's been out here doing so many things. I'm not so sure about what he does outside music and songwriting, of course, and singing.
I think for Bien, I think he's been very involved with artist rights. And I think there was a time he had he'd said they were going to register a songwriters union. I tried to look up more information, but I don't know why the Saudi Soul website is down. I think after they disbanded, they also took down the website. I don't know why they did that, because I mean it would be a nice source for information, because you could just, you know, directly access it, find the information, and, you know, create something like this, like we're doing right now, and it would be much, much easier. Yeah, he's been now involved very much with songwriting and all songwriters and all that. Oh, and he also studied for journalism. I think he just recently recognized that in the tweet he wrote very, very recently before the recording of this episode, I think I saw it. So, yeah, he doesn't practice much, but that's quite interesting.
That's interesting to learn. Since we're talking about people's courses, I also learned that Fancy Fingers studied actuarial science at GQuad. Now that we are dropping,
you know, that's something. You ever noticed how many architecture students are artists?
In arts, true. It's so many, but I think it's probably because also architecture is just creating things and drawing and. But I think that's also a lot of science. Yeah. Oh, instrumentalist. Mm-hmm.
Any other thoughts on something?
I just admire and love their investment in the industry and how they've been keen on, you know, paving the way for others and making it a little bit easier for other people, considering they've launched so many, let's say, tablets under Soul to Soul. The likes of the festival, the Soul Gen, the publishing, you know. So it's just offering solutions to artists. And that's, I feel like that's something great to leave behind, because, you know, if you were active at a time when there were zero systems, and now here you are creating them for others who are coming after you, that's admirable. And it's definitely a good legacy to, yeah, to leave behind. So.
That's true. As in, like, if you're an artist, don't just be a gatekeeper. Don't just think that you'll be the only one. There's always going to be new blood. So it's nice to create a way for the new blood. Make the industry better. That way you'll be remembered.
It's something to maybe, like, think about. But yeah, this was amazing. And I think I just can't wait to see what the individual members of Soul to Soul will be doing for themselves, for their brands, and maybe even for Soul to Soul, because I think I remember what Samara said was that this is, I'll not say this is a break, because they confirmed they're finished, but like they said that, you know, when you spend so much time with people, you find that it's like it was a marriage, you know where you are in the morning, mamka pamoja, it's just like you're getting the same inspirations, nini. So I think now that they have chosen to do different things for a minute, we'll probably have new inspiration and maybe even better music from them. So I'm just gonna be delulu on that and hope that something else is coming.
I mean,
but no pressure.
Yeah, we could just wait and see. I mean, we could still enjoy the project. Yeah. It's not like they're not there anymore.
Because they're amazing, yeah. They're there.
You never know what the future holds. They might just come up and then again just be like, yeah, so we'll have a new album. Oh, really? You want to listen, of course.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's going to be interesting to see.
Because even before everything ended, there was an album that was in the works. And it's just like, it put a layer like that. I don't know how it's...
Oh, yeah.
How that ended. They're not
supposed to give us a Soul album at the end. Who knows? Album, maybe it's the one that's in the works. Maybe it's like a capsule project. You know, like 20 years after you've never heard about Soul to Soul again, there's an album.
And then you're just like, poof, there you go.
Yeah, there's
something new for you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see all this unravel.
Thank you once again for listening through to the end of this episode. We featured Miss Desi as we discussed Soul to Soul and the legacy they left behind. If you want to hear more episodes like this, you can always reach out to us on social media at Out the Booth Podcast across all social media platforms. Remember to like, share, and subscribe. Till next time, I've been Eugene, and this was Out the Booth Podcast.